Okay, out the door. The very first thing is to go and get the trash can, since it's sitting out there by the road because it was Tuesday night last night and the garbage got collected. So I'll pick that up and bring it back and put it in here by the house. Okay, so I'm setting out to walk into work by way of the back campus. I hear a few birds. They say it's supposed to rain today, maybe snow a little bit. But it's 16th of March, 2005, and 6 months from now, it's my 62nd birthday and my official retirement date. This is really quite a nice walk in the morning. It starts out going up Limekiln Road and then through the Fairwind subdivision, all of which appeared during the 12 years we were here. And they're all sort of little ticky-tacky boxes kind of houses. Nothing interesting about them at all. They turn over quite a lot. So I'm making the turn up here into McClung Place. And up we go. Well, I want to reflect a little bit on how much change there's been in the last few months and what I've done with technologies. And really, the thing I've been exploring most in the last few months is things to do with sound. I reflect that a year ago, I was really making almost no use of computer sound. Ron and I were planning the course we'd teach together, and it had certainly some imagery in it and a lot of stuff with maps and a lot of stuff with text. But it didn't make any use of sound, principally because there was no easy way to collect and manage and edit sound. I had SoundForge, but I hadn't really used it for anything. And I wasn't really working on developing all of that. So I guess my interest in that really started in October 2004, when I first heard about podcasting. And it didn't take very long for some of the pennies to start to drop about what you could do with podcasting. And it wasn't too long after I heard about it that I figured out I could spend the ACS grant money that I had left over to buy an MP3 player. I did a fair bit of research on that, figuring out which one to buy. And I ended up buying a 40 gigabyte iRiver, partly because I didn't really like the idea of being tied down to what Apple iPod nailed you to. And I thought the idea of being able to record stuff and do line-in stuff would be important. Anyway, I set up sort of a basic podcasting setup at home and fiddled around with making it work as well as I could. And ran into things like machine noise, not knowing how to mix and output from records and CDs and tapes with microphone and so on. Eventually I worked in my Mackie mixer and developed more or less satisfactory basic home studio, which in fact I haven't used very much yet, partly because I've used other workarounds for the kind of sound stuff I wanted to do. Anyway, I eventually developed some reasonable workarounds for moving sound around, but mostly it was not adding narrative. I thought I would be making more podcasts for the class than in fact I've turned out to do. Anyway, now with this little microphone, I have at least the possibility of talking as I walk, I think. We'll see how that really works out. I have no idea whether it will turn out to be worthwhile or not. The big issue, though, is probably editing. Well, even bigger issue really is managing sound files. The problem I have with the iRiver at the moment is that it has lots of folders on it into which I've stuffed things. So, for instance, I'll open a new folder at the beginning of a month. So I'm working on MAR 05 right now. And that works out okay. I put all kinds of things in. But at least at the moment, the iRiver doesn't really want to listen to me when I try and tell it not to shuffle within a folder. I haven't figured out how to conclusively tell it that what I want it to do is play things in the order that they're in there. So that's a little frustrating. Really, the worst thing, the thing that needs so much to be dealt with, is when you're listening to a podcast and there's a passage that is really, it's the kind of thing you want to be able to clip out and use again because it's just exactly the right way something should be expressed or something like that. There really isn't any way to do that. What I have to do is take the whole stream, which might be, I don't know, 45 minutes long sometimes, even more, and then pull that into a sound editor, find the bit, and copy it out. And I guess the good side of that is I do have the sound editors, both with Audacity, which works really remarkably well, and with SoundForge, which is a much more powerful tool all in all, but so powerful that I don't use more than just the very basic functionalities. Anyway, I don't really have any way to manage those bits of sound, let alone to easily provide them with the metadata that would make them usable easily. Another thing I really need is that ability to link up URLs with specific segments of sound so that I can encode a clip from a particular MP3. And I know it's possible, it's just a matter of what servers do I have to work with. What do I have to do to get the PHP working and so on? And there are things I just don't understand. I can probably get Peter Jalaliev to help me with some of that at some point. But I haven't done that yet, of course. Anyway, a lot more audio has crept in. And part of that, of course, has to do with teaching cross-cultural studies in music again, which has had its own frustrations. Partly it's a matter of realizing how disconnected I've been in the last few months from, or the last few years rather, the last dozen years, from the advance of music. Now there are essentially no spatial barriers and fewer technological barriers to access to an amazing array of quote-unquote world music. And I guess the big discovery with that maybe is the internet radio. But the question is, do you really want to catch the stream and save bits and put them somewhere and do something with them, like repurpose them? Or do you just want to have the stream go by and listen to it? Is that really the most sensible thing to do with the medium? I'm not sure what I think about that. At the moment, I'm finding the classroom lecture situation with music to be frustrating about half of the time. I have a bunch of things that I've put together, usually as text on a web page with a whole lot of links to MP3s or WMA files or something like that. And the exercise of putting it together is really fun and really productive and really, you know, lots of good things happen as I do it. I learn stuff. But the in-class presentation sometimes seems to be falling kind of flat. And I think that's as much that I'm really tired of the whole business of standing up and talking in front of people as a way to educate and inform. Sometimes I'm reasonably good at it, sometimes I'm reasonably not so good at it, and I'm not sure how to separate the one from the other, or how to predict which it's going to be. So this medium of podcasting, with being able to edit the stream, is probably a more congenial way for me to work, if I can figure out all the bits and pieces of how to do it. My most favorite way of working, of teaching, is on a one-to-one basis, or sometimes a very small group basis. And it's really conversational. It's not kind of didactic lecture-y kind of stuff. And it really works, and that's one of the wonderful things about this 13 years of being a reference librarian, is I've had a lot of opportunity to work on small problems that people brought along and that needed solutions to, and I found those solutions. And along the way, shown them something they didn't know before, and they go, oh, that's so cool, thank you so much, and all that stuff. Well, I'm now down behind the tennis palace. I've turned off the road. I'm walking down one of the paths that was laid out for the cross-country runners, past this amazing forest of teasels, which someday I've got to come and photograph before the time is gone. And I'm beginning to realize all these little bits and pieces of the time being almost gone, as I start to wrestle with legacy and with what I'm doing and why and what I'm going to do next and all those things. Anyway, I'm just about to turn off of the little side access path onto the gravel road that goes down into the back campus. This is just one of the nicest ways to get to work, because with so much variety, and nobody else, for the most part, walks all down here all that much. You see the occasional footprints, mostly of running shoes. But for the most part, you know, you've got it to yourself at any given hour. Occasionally you meet somebody, say hello. Okay, well anyway, I've been trying to figure out how to think and talk about MP3 players as affordances, And I think that's the really important thing. They open up some possibilities that weren't there before. And I think that it's as much, the great possibility is exactly this thing that I'm doing now, of recording. Of course, it creates another problem in managing sound files, because I've got to go through and edit out the ums and ers and face the fact that what I do is switch from topic to topic, so it's not like it's coherent or planned or anything like that. But there is something to be said for catching the stream of thought and conversation, and something to be said for paying attention to how you leap from thing to thing. Anyway, it's an affordance. So it can be used, the technology can be used for all kinds of things, most of which you don't begin to appreciate or even grasp as possibilities until you start playing with the technology. And when you do, all kinds of things come along where suddenly you think, oh, that's the solution to this problem or that problem. Or, well, yeah, you can do that, but then you need to be able to do something else. For instance, the whole thing about being able to access a particular point in the stream while you're building a narrative that you want to export to an MP3 so you can put it out there, so that somebody can put it onto their MP3 player and listen to it. All that stuff does need to be edited quite a lot. And figuring out the editing suite is an interesting challenge in itself. Like, what do the pros do? And how can I make the relatively basic technology do what I want it to do? Now I'm on one of those sort of back paths, having gone up and down the hill a bit, which is why I'm a little out of breath. Turns out to be an interesting challenge to talk and walk up and down hills and breathe without sounding like you're out of breath. I suppose I could slow down, but on the other hand, it's very nice to be out here. Beginning to see a little more green here in mid-March, and within a couple of weeks, it'll warm up significantly, and there'll be a lot of green showing up. So it's still early spring here. Okay, now there's the baseball field off to the right. I'm about to go down one of the newly created cross-country trails. It goes downhill so I can catch my breath a little bit, I guess. But of course, on the other side, it'll go uphill. So, editing sound is an interesting challenge because it takes so much time. And there are some things where this is just the right medium for getting something across. And there are others where text is really the appropriate medium. And separating those two out is an interesting thing to think about. Maciej, in a posting he made kind of at the beginning of the whole podcasting thing, cast a whole lot of cold water on the whole thing of doing sound because it's so slow. But I think the trade-off is you really get to hear the dynamics in somebody's voice. The fact that an enthusiasm is something that people put into cogent terms, sometimes much more immediate, much more cogent than they might if they were just writing about it. So I think you really need to be able to use both kinds, both media, both writing and sound. And ideally, you want to be able to link them up. And that's really the hope of web pages, is that you'd be able to do that kind of thing. I haven't seen it done very well in very many places yet. Partly it's because players for sound are these sort of helper apps that have to start up so that it takes a moment to do. And they aren't just kind of immediately there when you click so that you get the immediate sound, that it's in the flow of what you're reading and so on. But then that's a general problem of hypertext. How do you kind of keep your place with your finger on the page, so to speak, while you go off and look at something else, which may take you to three or four other something else's, or you may return right away. So that's one of the continual problems of hypertext learning. It's constructive in the sense that you eventually put together all kinds of bits and pieces. And it's nonlinear, which is good, but it's also nonlinear, which is bad. And that's to say that there are some situations where linearity is really a very useful and desirable quality of a medium. And others where really what you want is the elusive leap to something else. But most of all, what I really want is for people to experiment. Experiment with their own learning, experiment with the means to keep track of where they've been, and experiment with ways to tell other people about their process and their discoveries. That really is kind of at the heart of why the web and HTML and hypertext and so on have been, for me, such a fascination in the last, well, it's really more than 12 years, although some of those things really didn't exist for me until sometime in that 12-year period. As I'm looking back on all the things I've done here at Washington and Lee in that 12 and a half years that I've been here, I'm really pretty amazed at the width, the breadth of the array of stuff that I have explored and experimented with. And I began to see that when I started to try to put together my legacy pages, sort of laying out what things were created when I first did something and so forth. I'm not sure who will ever care about that. For me, it's a good exercise. And I kind of want to make a document to leave with Von Stanley, probably on a DVD, that summarizes a lot of what I've done in ways that somebody who wanted to know about it could navigate the chronology and discover more about some of the stuff. So, I don't know how much people are doing this thing of making sort of summaries of their web presences. Perhaps I have more web presence to summarize than most people would. Anyway, I'm really kind of looking forward to the process of doing it. And of course it proceeds like all things do, with realizations of technological possibilities. So yesterday, for instance, was the first time I'd used a DVD data burner. And what I did with it was collect something more than 4 gigabytes of very, very miscellaneous material from my GIS explorations and put them onto that DVD so that a lot of those files could be deleted from ACAD Proj so the server space can be freed up. The fact is, nobody is ever going to look at most of that stuff ever again. Nobody's going to care that I spend a bunch of time getting China GIS stuff whipped into shape in order to use it in courses. Nobody's ever going to want to reuse it again, or if they did want to use it, they'd probably go and get it themselves. And the whole thing of managing the GIS data was just an enormous can of worms. And since I didn't undertake stuff with ARC SDE, I really doubt that the material that's on there now is going to be sensible to put into an implementation of ARC SDE when somebody does come along to make it. But that'll be interesting to see, to say the least. Now, where I am now, coming down out of the woods, down to the part where I'm overlooking the VMI baseball field and connecting up with the old railroad line. And shortly I'll be walking along that old railroad line till I come to the spur that takes me down by Woods Creek and thence up the back into the science building. This is such a nice walk, and I can't really say that I see something new every time, because most of the time lately what I've been doing is either listening through headphones to podcast stuff as I walked, or sometimes reading as I walked, or sometimes writing down my thoughts as I walked. And those things are kind of like you're in this bubble and not paying a whole lot of attention to what's on either side of you. And in fact, this exercise now of talking as I walk, well, I've never done anything like this that I can think of. And I suppose it will have some kind of interest in listening to it again. It seems to me it's hopped from thing to thing to thing in a way such that any given thought never gets fully developed. And that's kind of how my mind works anyway. It kind of goes from thing to thing, gets interrupted by something else, and so on. And I've always kind of enjoyed that as a way to do things. What it doesn't do is get any particular thing completed and boxed up and finished and out the door. In fact, in order to do that, and in order to do the kind of podcast that I would really want to make public and, you know, use as sort of some kind of encapsulation of what I think or what's on my mind or whatever, in order to do that, I'd really have to script it very carefully ahead of time. And in fact, the very first podcast I made, when I was doing a demo for University Scholars of what might be included in cross-cultural studies in music, I did script that. I wrote out some stuff and I recorded bits, and then I inserted clips of music, and it worked pretty well. It's the kind of thing that, yeah, you could listen to again and again. Or it's also the kind of thing where I listen to it and I think, oh, that musical selection went on too long, or that one wasn't well enough explained, and that kind of stuff. So there are not only scripting things, but also editing tasks that really need to be part of the process. Much more time seems to get consumed in those things than you kind of expect will happen. I guess that's also true with planning and executing lectures, where how many hours goes into a 45-minute stand up and talk? Well, it's many. And sometimes, no matter how many it is, it's really not enough. And you really needed to have spent another 3 or 4 days on that 45 minutes. Or else, well, another way to do it is just to say, okay, you get what you get. Or, still another way, is you have these scripts that you've been working on for years, and you reinvent them every time you give them, adding some things, subtracting some things, and so on. Well, I don't think it's a very effective way to educate others. It's probably a pretty effective way to educate yourself. And as I look back over all those folders and all those drawers, I can sort of begin to reconstruct some of my pathways. Although, truth to tell, a lot of that is stuff where I photocopied or printed some particular thing because it seemed apposite at the time. But I never actually went back and worked it over thoroughly to extract whatever it was that made it seem apposite and turn it into my own. I certainly do that occasionally, but there's an awful lot of stuff that I never got around to reading, or that if I had read, would have turned out not to be what I was hoping it was. And what I don't have very often is a very good record of how I moved from thing to thing to thing. If I did have, well, it would take that much time, take so much time to go through it and figure out what was worthwhile in it and so on, that would I ever get anything else done? So it's all a huge organizational problem, one that I certainly will never solve now. And if I don't have audiences for what I'm thinking about and gathering information on, then I don't know, will it still be what I want to do that gathering? Or will I just create other audiences? Will I figure out effective ways to use this medium as a way to communicate with audiences completely unseen, who are out there somewhere? That's a really interesting prospect, analogous to the discoveries I've made of what happens when I write stuff on web pages, because people contact me and so forth. Well, here I am coming up, just across the Woods Creek Bridge, coming up behind the library and the science building and the development building. And I think what I'll do is shut this off, and I'll be interested to see if it actually amounts to anything.